Let's everyone stand if we could. Another nice day the Lord's given us. Nice cold day. I'm glad to be here though, aren't you? Let's look over to number 354. That's 354 in the spiral book. I have a source of strength when I am weak, that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, all my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others may get through, who never go to Calvary as I do, where there's a healing, cleansing stream that flows with peace that only His redeemed can know. I claim the blood my Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, all my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I just claim those precious blessings.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning. Good to see everybody with us this morning. Remember the ones that may not be here, whatever the problem is, wherever they're at today, be with them and guide them. Brother Collie, I think, fell and had a bad spell, so he's not here today. So remember Brother Collie as we pray. That's all the requests I have. I know we have many that are unspoken. Remember, Dad lost another sister, and they'll be going to the funeral today. So Dad's preaching the funeral there. So remember the family, the Sims family, in that situation. I think that's all. Remember, still remember Wade will be preaching this morning and this afternoon. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's all go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that may be still traveling on the highways, wherever they're at today. You come down, bless them, be with them, and guide them. Lord, be with the ones that we are praying for, Lord. Remember Brother Collie with a special prayer this morning, Lord. Come down and bless him. Lord, be with the Sims family, lost some Merle there, Lord. Be with the rest of the family there. Continue blessing them also. Be with the many other ones that we pray for on a regular basis, Lord. Just come down and bless them. Whatever the need is this morning, wherever they're traveling, the colds and things, Lord, that we all have, take these things away from us all. Most of all, Lord, you forgive us of all of our sins. We love you for your many blessings that you give us on a daily basis. Give Wade strength, Lord, and let us have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Be with us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Let's turn to number 226. That's 226 in the spawn room. soul of man never dies, where there'll be no parting hand, where the soul of man never dies, no sad farewell, no tear, dim eyes, where all is joy and love. And the soul of man never dies. No sad farewell, no tear dim eyes, where all is joy and love, and the soul of man never dies. It's going to be wonderful, isn't it? Brother Ray, would you like to come receive the offering tithes this morning? I just looked up and I didn't see Brother Moore.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Let's look right across the page there, number 231. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. One glorious day, Jesus came and made me whole. He so completely did satisfy my soul. Now as I face life's dark and troubled sea, I wonder if He is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me, and I want my life to be what it have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, His smile will say He is satisfied with me. Well, I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. I'm satisfied, it's sufficient for all men. I'm satisfied with His work on Calvary. But is my Lord fully satisfied with me? Oh, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. And I want my life to be what it have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, His smile will say He is satisfied with me. Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me bold, that I might lead some lost sheep into Thy fold, that I might stand unafraid, unmoved for Thee, that You might be fully satisfied with me. Oh, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me, and I want my life to be what it have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, His smile will say He is satisfied with me. Oh, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me, and I want my life to be what it have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, His smile will say He is satisfied with me. Amen. That's my desire. Let's all stand this morning. Now let's, Brother Dick, if he'll come with a responsive reading.
Well, y'all said we're going to try to do this. This morning I got up and took my blood pressure, and it was 129, I think, something like that. That's the lowest it's been in the morning in a long time. Needless to say, I wish that blood pressure pill was back in that bottle. So this morning, and I made this statement too, is around here we must be doing something right. Because I'll tell you what, old Satan is really doing the work. And so we're going to read from Psalm 6 this morning. We'll read all 10 verses. Y'all pray for me. Father, we just praise You, and we thank You for this time set aside this morning. We can gather in, lift up, and glorify Your name. We just praise You in every way, Father. As You be with this word that we read, that it might come and attach Yourself to us, Father, we might be able to manifest this in our lives. And we just praise You. Honor, be with those who are not here. Watch over them. Be with Brother Collie there, whatever his situation is, Father. Just touch him in a special way. In Jesus' name, we're praying for His sake. Amen, amen. Amen. First verse. O Lord, rebuke me not in Thine anger, neither chasten me in Thy displeasure.
Have mercy.
My soul is also so vexed, but Thou, O Lord, how long?
Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me for Thy mercy's sake.
For in death there is no remembrance of Thee, in the grave who shall give Thee thanks?
I am weary with my groaning, all night may I have been a swim.
Mine eyes is consumed because of grief. It waxed old because all mine enemies.
Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping.
The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer.
Let all mine enemies
be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly.
Thought he did a good job filling in. Let's turn over to 242. In moments like these, in moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. I lift up my hands. Oh, I lift up my hands to you, Lord, singing I love you, Lord, singing I love you. Singing, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, oh, I lift up my hands. Oh, I lift up my hands to you, Lord, singing out. Just right across the page. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, yours and ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. Headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems that now I almost see all the saints dead, rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior. heavenly host, we begin to sing. Singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be. Praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When with all the heavenly hosts we begin to sing, join the song, with them we shall be. Praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky.
Amen. Let's look over to 261. Just a little while to stay here.
Soon this life over, and our pilgrimage will end. Soon we'll take our heavenly journey, be at home again with friends. Heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. At some sweet day we're going over, all the beauties there to share. Just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of trouble in this low and sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates. Soon we'll see the light of morning, then the new day will begin. Soon we'll hear the Father's calling, come my children, enter in. Then we'll hear a choir of angels singing out the victory song. All our troubles will be ended, and we'll live with heaven's throne. Well, just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of trouble in this low and sinful state. We'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates. of our bosom over in that promised land. Then we'll be at home forever throughout all eternity. Oh, what a blessed, blessed morning that eternal morn will be. Just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait. We stray.
Just a little while. What does it matter how long? It's just a little while. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Good to have our visitors with us. Now, some has been before and some haven't, but we always say, you come one time, you're a visitor. You come two times, you're just part of us. Because that's just the way we are. We just serve the Lord for that part and what little bit we have here. So we appreciate it. Appreciate you coming. Amen. Remember, we had a real good time last night at the fellowship time of, you know, the banquet, the sweetheart banquet, had a good time there, and I told them when I went around and shook hands with everybody, because we're a little late getting there because I had to go to the funeral home, but I told them, I said, now, I'm not shaking hands with the sisters. I said, because this is a sweetheart banquet. And I said, these brothers might think I'm trying to push in on them a little bit. I said, but are we just, you know. But we had a good time. It was a good fellowship time, and really did enjoy it and appreciate everybody that worked and slaved and labored and done everything for it. It was really a good time, and they will have the pictures, you know, fixed up to where that we'll be able to view them and all like that, and we appreciate everybody. Amen. Just remember us this afternoon. We got to go when my sister passed away, and I will be having part of the funeral service this afternoon. So remember that at 2:00. When you're having a service here, just remember us there. All right? Just take a little time and say, well, just bless them and take care of the family and everything, you know. She was a good sister. You know, we call them a good Christian sister in the basis that she, you know, she loved the Lord and things, but, you know, maybe not a believer as we call it, but she was still a believer. So we appreciate it. Amen? Oh, yeah. No, we've got to do something too. I forgot, but I'm not forgetting. Okay, get it. Bring it on. But we just do that and remember us this afternoon, and then Wade will be doing the service. And I'll remember me Tuesday, because they're going to give me the battery pack, you know, to try to put my heart back in rhythm. And I'm not worried about that. That's the least concern I have. The concern I have is to, for you to be here Wednesday to where I can preach to you, because I don't worry about the rest of it. It's nothing to me. I told the doctor, I said, I go along with your program as long as it's medically okay, you know. And I said, the Lord's took care of me all these years. He'll take care of me the rest of the time, so don't worry about it. All right, now we had made our plans this Sunday to take up an offering for Wade. He will be leaving on the 25th, is that right? To go to the Philippines. So if you have anything that you would like to give, if you want to write out a check to the church, write it and put on there what it's about and everything, you know, and we can deliver it over to Wade and give it to him, you know, to do and to try to help him there, you know, in his expenses and the doings. And the church had already paid for the tickets, you know, he set up that away. But it takes money to go to a place like that. You don't go and live off of the people there. You have to go and take your money with you, because they don't have a lot. So we're going to let's sing a song and we'll just let's see. Let's get it done a little quicker, okay? We'll give two of them. All right. Or one can go down each side. Okay. Lord Jesus, we ask you to just bless and guide now. This offering today, we're taking it up for Wade, Lord, to have enough money and things to be able to make his trip with no problems. And we pray that you would just bless and guide and that you would take care of all the needs. And, Lord, bless all of those who give and those who, Lord, maybe wouldn't have enough to give, but yet their giving can be the prayers that they give as he's going there. We pray, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's sing a song.
286.
Go ahead. Like I said, now, if you want to write a check, just write it out to the church, but list what it's for. You know, and it can be taken care of.
I keep falling in love again, over and over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love again.
What it is, right?
I just keep falling in love again, over and over and over and over again. And I keep falling in love again.
Anybody have anything they want to give later, that'd be fine to do. Put it all together. Give it for the expenses and the things there. Love again, over and over and over and over again. Sweeter and sweeter as the days go by.
Oh,
what a joy. What a happy time.
I just keep
falling in love again. Over and over and over and over again. Amen. You just keep falling in love, right? Continually do it. Okay. Let's just sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Wade comes to minister unto us. And just pray that the Lord would bless him and guide him. All right? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Do you?
Yes,
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. Do you love him?
Yes,
I want to see. And how do you want to see him?
See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
You love him this morning?
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
And see means to what? Understand. Not just by physical sight, but by spiritual insight, we're able to see him. The world will see him no more, but you and I are going to see him because he'll be with us and even in us to the end of the world. Good to be in the house of the Lord again.
Amen.
Thanks for all the prayers. And a week from Wednesday, we'll be leaving for the Philippines for 3 weeks. So we'll... don't you get too comfortable sitting over there. We'll be leaving for 3 weeks, so just keep us in your prayers. And those will go with me, the prayers of the saints. But thank you for the offering that will be used. I won't be working for those 3 weeks, so we may use a little bit of that to pay some bills with, but still, the Lord knows all things. He's going to take care of it all. I am not worried one bit. I am not worried. I really am not. Not worried a bit, but I want to thank, is Hope here? Hope, Rebecca, Sterling, Sister Trudy, Mac, Where's Regina? Who else? Sister Johnny. Where's she at? Sister Johnny. Last night, they did a wonderful job at the Sweethearts Banquet. They came and helped. That was one of the best ones. We had a good time putting it up. We had a good time taking it down and had a good time in between. But a good time in the Lord. I think Sister Christine found out that we were pretty crazy. In the West, I was surprised to see them back today. You get into asking questions in like a newlywed game. You know, you remember those from the old TV program, the newlywed game. We always have fun with that, and you kind of get to know each other. You kind of figure out too that the wives don't know much about the husbands, and the husbands don't know much about the wives. But somewhere in there, the ones that won last night was Brother Joe and Sister Gwen. They just beat everybody. So bless their heart. Terrence and Lisa were second, and sometimes the one you think that you know maybe not going to do it will do it. Brother Tony and Sister Esther won last year, so we just, you know what, we're still human. We still live a human life. We still, God gave us a mate, and you're supposed to honor her. And you know what, honor her in a Christian way. I looked at Brother Luis last night, and I said, we're having all this fun and no alcohol involved. We're having all this fun. Kids, the greatest fun you'll ever have is with Christian people. Right. You might think you have fun with them people out there in the world, but no, 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 no. It'll be for a fleeting moment only. But this will endure forever. This will take right over into eternity and have a good time with that. So I want to thank also my mother for putting this together. And I want to thank Brother Dale, too, for paying for it. Because we have been to several that you have to pay a fee to go to, which is fine. I mean, that's okay. But this church covers all expenses and everything's paid. And actually, we give out gifts and prizes and things to kind of help you along. So just pat Brother Dale on the back and Sister Dale, because they're the ones that's given the time and the money for us to have a little bit of fun while we're still here on this earth. So, and I believe, like I said, it'll carry on into eternity. So let's turn to our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're gonna continue today. We're going to try to get to the Holy Spirit today, or get it finished, and then start this afternoon on charity or love and go right into adoption, which is a favorite subject of mine. I've been speaking several places. I was at Brother Joe Green's last week, and we spoke on the call to adoption. So it was just kind of a light version of what, you know, we would get here. But that is our call. Our call is to adoption. It's not just to be good Christians. There were good Christians all down through time, but it's time for us to come up higher. The prophet of God said we can. If you want to, come up higher in God, where that God doesn't have to treat you like a baby all the time, where you can be a full-grown adult in God, and God can use you any way He wants to. And there's one thing for sure, He will never use you wrong. All right? So we depend on that. That's where we put our faith and our belief on, that God will not do anything to harm you. If anybody harms you, you know who that is. That's the devil himself. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. And let's bow our head. Good to see our friends with us. They've been here before, so good to see you again. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you, and the little brother back there with Sterling. Good to see you. You been here before? No? Well, you're in for a treat.
Little girl out in Hammond.
Oh, hey, sister. Well, Lord bless you. Good to have you with us.
Danielle.
Would you pick her on the side of the road? What'd you?
Oh, no.
No?
Great.
Oh, wonderful. That's good. Well, good to see you. Good to have you here. Let's bow our heads before we get started. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, today that you'd come among us in a special way, Father. Not, as we say, being a bystander to record our thoughts and ideas, but be an active participant in this service. You do the speaking, you do the hearing, you do the revealing, Father, because there's no way that a human will be able to do those things. Father, we pray that you'd just be with the ones that are not here, Lord. We have a full house today, but there are a few out that are sick. We ask you just bless them now, Lord. Just In the name of Jesus Christ, go and heal them now, Father. Ones, Lord, that are sin sick, that we stand every day. I don't know the people on the internet know it, or the people here sometimes realize that right under my feet is a group of names on a board. And it's family members, Lord. The ones that we posted to keep us, you said to continually to remember these things. And we put their name up and they're right here under this sacred pulpit, Lord. And Lord, we pray that as we speak, Father, that the Holy Spirit would go to that group of people and save their soul, Father. Bless them and take them, Lord, and just stir their water so much to where they won't care about this life out there, Lord, but they'll want to have a life in Jesus Christ. Father, just bless us, Lord. Take care of us during this journey that we have. Be with the ones, Lord, that are on the foreign mission fields, that you'll bless them and give them fruit for their labor, Father. Just be with us, Lord. Take care of us today. Forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Also remember, as Brother Dale said, remember the Dale and Sam's family in the passing of the of Dad's sister. She was a real sweet lady. But we know how God gives rewards. So we are, like I said before, you look at the life. And the life lived, she lived a good, as much as she knew a nominal Christian life, Sister Merle lived a good life. So, but now we are going to come into here, and we're going to try to raise that bar up a little bit because God said we could. All right, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, so they have to go get it, like precious faith, with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power, so there's no demon power there, it's divine power, it's the power of God, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So we've been on this series now for 7 or 8 or 9 services on how to live your life and live it godly. All right? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given, so these are gifts and they're given to us, whereby are given unto us, do you know what though? Remember, a pardon is not a pardon unless what? It's accepted as a pardon. The pardon's there, but the man had to accept the pardon, so you must accept these gifts. God's not going to give you these gifts just because you're a good person. Right. He's not going to give you these gifts because you're just in the message.
Right.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, prophet of God said, these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now that's not your nature, that's the divine nature of God. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, so okay, besides this, do what? Giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if, there's that big word if these things be in you, not on you. These are not anointings. These are actual working gifts. All right? We'll talk about that a little bit when we get up to the Holy Spirit. For if these things be in you and abound, they got to be overflowing. They make you, it's going to turn you from that old nature, make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who wouldn't want that? Neither barren nor unfruitful. But he that lacketh these things is blind. And cannot see afar off, what? Rather, cannot see revelation. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Look at all these adjectives. Give diligence to make your pastor's calling, that's not what it says, to make your calling an election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I love that reading. It never gets old to read that. Even though we've read it 7 or 8 times in about 2 years down in the Sunday school class. But we want to today to kind of, since we didn't do anything, you know, last Sunday, Brother Dale brought 2 wonderful messages there that that would help you if you'd listen. All right, Ephesians 4, let's continue reading on, because remember, and this is just kind of background for the ones that have not been here, what happens in 2 Peter, Peter picks up the revelation of God, right? He picks up the revelation of God, and he says, okay, we need these things, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. But he doesn't really tell you how to get them.
He just gets you on the road that you got to know, you have to have a knowledge that you need them. Then Peter picks up the Paul picks up the revelation and tells you how to get them. All right? So now here we go, Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So that's the only way you're going to get it. For the perfecting of the saints, all the way up, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What? Till. So there's a journey. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which is all the way up there at the headstone. Amen? So Peter tells you what you need. Paul tells you how to get it. All right? So see, God has equipped us, Brother Luis. He told us what we need and how to get it. So what else do we need? We need to get under this fivefold ministry. That's a true fivefold ministry. All right? Because there's some folds out there that's not true. But a true fivefold ministry will point you straight to Christ. Amen? All right, so now we go to the first quote that we've read every day, every time, and we're going to read it again. Brother Branham says, notice, you must be born again. Not up here. We're going to talk about that today, what this Holy Spirit is. But you got to be born again right here at what? Faith.
Right.
All right? Notice, you must be born again. You can't have these godly virtues unless God's in you to activate them.
Amen?
Amen? All right? And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. That's right down there. So you see on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. All right? But remember, and I didn't bring that quote, but remember the other quote Brother Brown said, faith alone won't do it.
Right.
So faith alone's not going to do it all. Now, scroll it all the way up. You're possessed of one that dominates your life, which is said that's either faith or doubt. So in your soul today, in your soul, we're talking to the soul of man. In your soul today, if you're born again, it's faith. If you're not born again, it's doubt. It's not faith and doubt. It's faith or doubt. All right. So there's not two people in your soul.
That's
where the two soul people went wrong. You were born a living soul. Born in sin, shaping iniquity, espoused from your mother's womb, a liar. Brother Bram said, doomed and on your way to hell. Then God comes in and burns that old nature of that soul out, puts his soul in, and then what? It's you and God in there as persons. Brother Bram said, you and Christ in there as persons. But you're possessed of one that dominates your life. There's the control tower. Not up here, down here. All right? Just depends on how much faith you have and how high you can rise. All right, so it's going to be left up to you. You can't come, even as a Christian, you can't come up to God one day and say, God, why didn't you give me temperance? You know what he's going to say? You didn't want it.
Right.
How much faith is how high you can rise. And God has given us an ability to rise all the way up to the capstone, which is love.
Amen.
All right? So now, can you bring up the chart, Brother Anderson, to start with? There you go. Now, this is the full chart. So let's just leave it right there for a little while because we're going to go through them real quick. But you must be what? Justified and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To get in this. It's not a pyramid teaching. But Brother Branham used that pyramid as a symbol of showing, like Brother Joe and I were talking, you go over and remember at the very first we read about Zerubbabel. O thou great mountain.
Right?
Zerubbabel and a mountain. That mountain will be a plain. It'll start and grow. And then the headstone comes down crying, grace, grace. But the only way to get into that is to what? Be justified by faith, sanctified by faith, and then that faith, God honors your faith by bringing his life into your life.
Amen.
Is that all right? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the way it is. You can't go up here and then try to get down here. You can't build that. You must build through justification, outer court, sanctification, inner court. But the Holy of Holies is right here. That's where God resides, is in the Holy of Holies. You can have a lot of, you can have some of these, part of these, and be just sanctified. Sure. But to have virtue faith, you got to have faith first.
Right.
Amen? To have knowledge faith, you got to have what? faith first. Faith. Got to have faith. Faith is the whole foundation. Now, the word faith, we looked at in the Greek, and we're going to just go through this real quick. But everybody see that? That was a faith. That's the new birth. That's the Holy Ghost. That's where you start. You cannot start with these virtues without being born again.
Amen. Right.
The Holy Spirit at the top, I'll explain that today if the Lord will it. All right? But the word faith means assurance or belief. You must believe in something. Remember, none of us saw Jesus die on the cross physically, right? But we must believe that he did, and it becomes so much of a belief that we know that he did.
Amen.
Amen? So then we accept what he did for us, not what we do. Now, what we do is later on.
Right. Yes.
Works is faith expressed,
all right?
So but we must come to a belief first. So faith is believing. You got to have faith in something.
Right.
Amen? The old song, you must believe in something or you'll fall for anything. And that's what the problem is. How are you going to believe? A fivefold ministry's got to bring you the word of God so you can learn how to believe. Because we believed in everything else. We believed in this and that and the other. But when we come and bring a fivefold ministry that brings the word of God, you say, God, I believe in that. And you know what? He honors that. He has to honor his own word. Amen? Then our works is our faith expressed.
Right.
All right? Because you can have a whole lot of works. But I told you many times before, if you look over there in Revelations, the ones that are going to be judged, they're judged by their works.
Right.
I don't want to be judged by one work I do.
Right.
I want to be judged by the works that Christ did.
Amen.
And that way, he's the perfect one.
Right.
So you and I are the perfect one in him.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
We're not perfect in ourselves, but we're perfect in him. That's why we stand in judgment. Judge him because he took our sins and we accept that.
Right.
But the ones that come up to the white throne judgment that don't receive the new birth, they have to be judged by the works they did on the earth. And I'm telling you, I don't want to be judged by even coming to church and living a good life.
Right.
Amen? Right? So faith is belief. Now let's go to virtue. Now we looked up the word virtue and we'll not go into the scriptures and we'll not read what Brother Branham said because we've already done that several times. But what did we find out virtue was? Strength. All right? It's strength. It's power. It's ability. It's inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature or which a person or thing exerts or puts forth. Peter didn't have to go call another preacher. Peter didn't have to go call the prophet. He didn't have to go find Jesus. Jesus was in him. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. The power was residing in a thing called Peter.
Amen.
You saw that was for Peter. No, that was for you.
Amen.
Amen? Because we can't have just faith. Now we must have strength or a strong faith. All right, faith alone won't do it. You must rise higher and have a strong faith. So what? So that virtue or that strength can go out to other people.
Right.
Amen? Now let's go to knowledge. Knowledge signifies, in general, intelligence, understanding, the general knowledge of Christian religion, the deeper or more perfect and enlarged knowledge of this religion, such as belong to the more advanced. Now see, you went from faith to virtue to knowledge. You're what? You're advancing.
Amen.
All right, you're advancing. Belongs to the more advanced, especially of things lawful and unlawful for Christians. Now what did we talk about? What is discernment?
Right.
Things lawful and unlawful.
Right.
You're judging right now, today, you're judging whether I'm telling you the truth or not.
Right.
All right? So discernment, we saw, was a requirement of a Christian. You're required to discern every day of your life.
Right.
All right?
Amen.
Now, when you were out in the world, yeah, sure, you discern things, you know, you might want to kill that guy. But you don't. That's just a moral obligation of not killing another man. But now you will come up a little higher in the Word, and Jesus said if you say one word against that person, you're killing that influence of that person, you've killed that person, the prophet of God said. Same way with we used to get away with looking at a woman and lusting after her. Jesus said, you can't get away with that no more. Because see, the Pharisees could say, look, I've never touched a woman before. physically. Jesus knew, though, in their mind that they undressed those women all the time. Because that's what he told them. He said, now if you look on a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery. So we're looking at lawful and unlawful for Christians. All right? That's why the Bible says don't take a Christian to court. Right? Judge right here. This is where the judgment is, right here. Don't take a Christian to court. All right? Now don't let the people in the world run all over you, okay? But I'm talking about Christian versus Christians. You should never take a Christian to court. You should settle it, what? By the Word of God. Moral wisdom, such as seen in right living. But we looked at discernment. So now we look at, we have faith. We have virtue faith, strong faith. Now we must have discernment faith. Okay? To discern right from wrong. And then we looked at spiritual insight. So you got to have not just that I can do calculus. No, it's that I can take Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38 and see that they say the exact same thing. Amen? That it's not two different things.
Right.
It's the exact, see that to me, that spiritual discernment, but see, spiritual discernment has been lost down through the ages by creeds and dogmas, and they said, no, that's not. This is the way you do it, and this is not. So they lost that spiritual discernment. But God never lost His spiritual discernment.
Right.
The people just lost it because of what? Teaching. The teaching of the people in the church ages, down through, not the Christians, but the ones that made denominations, set barriers,
right,
and they discerned wrong.
Right.
They did not have spiritual insight. And Brother Branham told us in the church age book that we must have spiritual insight in the end time, or we'll get caught with some of these doctrines. All right. So now knowledge is discernment faith. All right. Now temperance. We looked at the word temperance, and we all talked about temperance being temper and things like that. But for the ones that have not been here, it is how to control your ungodly temper, but it's also self-control of everything.
Right.
All right? So it's a controlled faith.
Yes.
Jesus had a controlled faith. It says, the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetite, mastering, controlling, curbing, restraining, controlling oneself, temperate, or continent. That means control everything. Control your tongue. Control all the things that you have around you. But Jesus, one time, I look at it like that, is when Jesus was laying asleep in a boat, and the, you know, all heck was breaking loose outside. There was the disciples were actually saying, "How can you sleep when this is going on?" Well, he had so much of a control faith. Well, all he done, he got up and he said, "Where's your faith?" He said, "Peace, be still." He would come up to a demon, and a demon would come, and a demon would actually speak back and said, "Thou Son of God." There was so much of a controlled faith there till Jesus didn't need to call the priest. He had that controlled faith. You look at Brother Branham, when he walks in, he says, "Look, I take every spirit under my control."
Right.
See, he was using that temperance faith that he had. He was using that controlling faith, not to control you as mind over matter. There's no way for God. God doesn't do that.
Right.
That's the devil. Right?
Right.
So that's what the devil tries to do. The devil tries to get in there and control you. But look, it says self-control. So it's got to come from what? Self.
Amen.
All right? Self-control, which is a controlled faith. That all these things we were talking about, I was talking about in the prayer, you know, you got downstairs, we've got the wall with all of our children and our, you know, husbands and wives and all that are down under my feet here in the Sunday school class. They're all looking for you to be in control.
Right.
See, once you get out of control, that's the first thing they're going to look at.
Right.
You start popping off at the lip and you start doing all these things.
Right.
Kids are going to look at that and going to say, "Wow, do I want what he's got?"
That's right.
Okay, right? That's for all of us. Comes from up here, back there.
Right.
We all need that self-control that, look, God, you said it, I believe it, and let's just walk into it.
Right.
All right? Amen? Because that's what we got to do. Because if Abraham looked at his circumstance, he could have never produced that child. But he came to a place, he said, "God, I can't do it. You're going to have to do it for me."
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So controlled faith. Sure, we need to control our temper. God is the only one that can do that. Because, see, we're fighting against that old nature. The old nature is being, we're fighting against it in all these. We're fighting against all the natural things of the world. But God, listen, God has given us provision. These promises told us how to, what to get and how to get it. So it's left up to me and you to say, God, I want you to control my temper. I want you to control my whatever. Amen? So if it's a controlled faith. Brother Branham, you know, the maniac comes running up the aisle, you know, and a huge man, and he says 200 preachers just left the pulpit. They didn't have a lot of control. But one man stood there and he said, something came from what? Inside. I was reading it the other day. Something came from here. And said, you'll fall at my feet. And still the demon said, no, I'm gonna break you in half and throw you off this pulpit. And he said, you'll fall at my feet. Well, see, that's a controlled, temperate faith. And that's what you and I must have. Because listen, it's not gonna get any easier. The devil's going to get closer and closer and closer and closer, and we're going to have that controlled faith to not be so out of control. That's a good one. I like that. You got to have control faith. All right? Now let's go to patience. We saw patience with steadfastness, constancy, endurance. All right? In the New Testament, the characteristics of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith, you never lose that. So we're looking at patience faith, our enduring faith, our perseverant faith, which is what? The greatest trials and suffering, piety by even the greatest trials and suffering. Because remember, the Bible says the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. And you're going to be tried. Tribulation, I didn't put this in here, but remember, tribulation worketh what? Patience. So you are going to have, right here, you're going to have to go through some tribulation. Remember, this is not spoons and forks. This is knives and swords. Amen? We're not going to do it in a picnic. It's going to be a battle that we got to go through. So you got to go through a battle, but remember, you must have endurance. Paul said, I come to the end of my road. I've run my race, and a crown of life waits on me. He knew he had patience. And look, the first thing Brother Brown said, do what? Have patience with who? God.
Right.
Amen? That God would do what he said he would do, and then next have patience with the people. Alright? But steadfastness. Now let's go to godliness. We spoke on godliness a couple of Sundays ago. Excuse me. But godliness, we saw that it was reverence, respect, piety towards God. And remember what we talked about. We talked about in godliness, we talked about what? Respect. Respect for the gifts of God. All right? Because you got to be godly down here because you're talking about life and godliness. You got to start acting like God once God comes in you. All right? But when you come here, you have respect for what God give you. To me, that's a revelation. It's respect for the gift of God. And you know what? It's a respect for the gift that God give you.
Right.
Remember, power without character is satanic.
That's right.
But power with character is fit to rule. Now, who you got to rule first? You got to rule this first.
Amen.
If you don't rule this first, you forget about everything else. All right, so now let's go to the quote there, number two, and we're going to background a little bit more with godliness and brotherly kindness because we kind of flew through them last Sunday or Sunday 2 weeks ago. Fifthly, add godliness. Oh my, godliness to be added. What does godliness mean? I looked 4 or 5 dictionaries and couldn't even find what it meant. Finally, I was down at Brother Jeffrey's there. We found it in a dictionary. Godliness means to be like God.
Right.
All right, oh my, after you get faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, then be like God. He says, "Phew." You say, "I can't do that, Brother Branham." This is the prophet. He said right, right? I mean, he wasn't wrong.
Right.
He was sent to tell us what God said, right?
Right.
Read that with me. Oh, yes, you can. I don't need to read no more. Oh yes, you can.
Right.
You know why? Because that prophet was the mouthpiece of God. He caught the mind of God. And you know who said that? God said that.
Amen.
Through a prophet. I can't do that, Brother Bram. Oh, yes, you can.
Right.
Then he talks about the scriptures. What? He goes right back to, be therefore perfect. And then he goes to what we read in Ephesians, where apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. You get way up here now before you're asked to do that. See, you're not asked to have respect for the gift or to act godly until you get way up there. You get way up here before you're asked to do that. All these things has to be added first.
Right. Right.
Then when you get up here, he asks you now to be perfect.
Right.
Godliness, sons and daughters of God. And then how many things he could say about on that line, and we'll leave it there because it's a respect. It's a respect knowing that God, look, when you get right here, look what God's packed into you already.
Right.
Look what should be working in your life and what God has what? He has said, you're able to do these things.
Amen.
And I'm going to give them to you because I know what you'll do with them when I give them to you.
Right.
See, this is why you get right here and you say, well, what? That's respect for the gifts that God's already give you.
Right.
You got that? Say amen.
Amen.
That's look, what a wonderful God that gives us a new birth.
Amen.
But he wants us to do more.
Right.
He doesn't want us to stay babies. He wants us to be somebody that can respect the gifts of God and respect what God has already given you. And you know what? It doesn't put you up here. If it does, you're not down there. If it puts you, swells your head up, you're not up here. You need to go right back down here and get some of this. Then you're going to have respect or be humbled that God would even give you these things.
Right.
But you know what, Brother Dick? If God give them to you, he know what you'll do with them.
Right.
So if he's give those gifts to you and God said, look, you've got temperance. And you realize you got temperance, you thank God that God had enough to give you that gift. And then you in return, you just let them work.
Yeah.
You're the vessel to let them work.
Right.
Okay. God doesn't want you to keep all these things inside.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Virtue goes out. Knowledge goes out. Temperance and patience, that's something we got to work on. Godliness is something we got to work on. Brotherly kindness is something we got to work on. So he starts out with you able to give these things out. But these things up through here, you work in here and then watch what's going to happen up here when we get up to where God can really use you. As a true vessel of God.
Amen.
Not that you're not a true vessel down here. Remember, those words true and is not like true versus false. Because you're going to read in here. We're going to read, Brother Bram said, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost comes on you right there. That doesn't mean you received a false new birth. Because remember, in Revelation 3:14 says, the faithful and true witness. Now, there never was a time that Jesus Christ was wrong and had to be true.
Right.
So he's the faithful and true witness. In other words, everything rings just right.
Yeah.
All right? Because remember, you're a faithful and true witness here, but my, what God wants to do for you. I said before, I love our little children like they are, but God forbid if I want them to stay that way.
Right.
That's not God's plan. It's for you to stay a child. They're cute and beautiful, but God wants you to grow up into God.
Yes.
Amen? So now, brotherly kindness. So godliness, remember what we said, godliness was what? Respect. Respect for the gift of God. Now, brotherly kindness, let's read a couple of scriptures here. Because like I said, we wanted to get a little bit of this. Because I want you to see something today that was in the back that I kind of wanted to... I didn't know how to go last week, but now I kind of know how to go. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Romans 12:9-10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another.
All right,
so that pretty much sums it up. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, which should be the next one. He therefore that despises not man, but God. Remember, be careful. Be careful. Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't lie to Peter.
Yeah.
No.
That's right.
They lied to the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Peter probably had compassion for him as a human being. But the Holy Ghost took over and said, you lied to the Holy Ghost. You didn't lie to me, lie to Peter. Amen? So you despise not man, but God. So like, who was it that said, God, they've turned me down? Was it one of the prophets in the Old Testament? Samuel or one of them said, Lord, they've turned me down. He said, no, they turned you down. He said, they turned me down through you. Right? That's why I said, look, right here. Let's go back to here. Respect for the gifts.
Right?
You learn to have respect for the gifts, because I'm going to tell you something. We can be taken off this earth if we don't have respect for the gifts of God.
Right.
We can still be Christians. I'm going to read you something here in just a minute. Because I had some questions. People asked me some questions about certain things, about how to handle them. And maybe we'll touch on that. You know what? If we don't get to it this afternoon, we'll get to it this afternoon. Or later on. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another.
Amen.
Now, let's look at something here. That love is not filial love.
Right.
Come on.
Amen.
For those of you that don't know what filial love is the love I have for my wife. It's bordering on feelings, emotions, lust, and all those things. Is that okay? But agape love has nothing to do with any of that. Okay? Agape love is you love one another. Now, it doesn't say we have to tolerate one another. We'll read it. There was a situation in the Bible with two born again, Holy Ghost filled, Paul and Barnabas. They had a problem. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. All right. The Greek word for that, though, is watch. It's Philadelphia, but it's brotherly love or brotherly kindness. So you can use both of that. Love of the brethren. Now, that's not love. That's what I said. That's not filial love. You shouldn't have that. That's what happened in the world.
Yeah.
They're having love for the brethren out there, and it's called homosexuality. You see how Satan perverts it, though? I'm not being funny. Satan perverted that.
Right.
He took that true love of God, and now he's turned it into what the Bible says, lasciviousness. Or men laying with men, women laying with women. He's turned that thing around and brought it from agape love. That's what I said many times about Adam and Eve. Agape love had to take over Adam to not destroy Eve.
Right.
Filial love had nothing to do with that.
Right.
No sex, no anything like that. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The sex between Adam and Eve didn't save Eve.
Right.
It actually polluted her more, and it polluted me and you.
Because
right. Adam sees what polluted the world, not Eve.
Right.
I know there's a doctrine out there in the message that Adam had to have sexual relations with Eve to save her.
Oh my. Yeah.
There's nothing in God of sex for salvation. You can forget that, brother. I'm going to tell you something. That's like Brother Jewel said. That's a false teaching. I got enough knowledge to realize that sex don't save nothing. Sex is what kills us all. It's what gives us a nature. I wouldn't have to preach this if all y'all was born right.
Right.
We wouldn't have to go to church.
Right.
Huh. Don't get no idea. But this is the love of brothers and sisters, brotherly love. In the New Testament, the love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren. Alright, so now let's go to number 3 and read what Brother Branham said, I will restore. This is not in the statue of perfect man. This is before the statue of perfect man. But watch what he says. Now, he's talking about Pentecost was God's vine. Now, he's talking about original Pentecost, not 1906, but original Pentecost, all right? Which was back in Paul's age, all right? Now, the first thing that Pentecost produced was brotherly love. It tore down the middle wall of partitions and made a brotherhood, a real brotherhood. You see how Satan perverts all this? He'll put you into the Masonic Lodge, or he'll put you into this, or he'll put... They say, well, that's a brotherhood. That's a brotherhood. See how Satan twists that thing and turns it around? But there is a true brotherhood in God and sisterhood, all right? To such a way that they had everything in common. Now, we're going to look at it in a minute. That word common is a good word to use. You say, well, now that puts... No, what common does, it puts everything level.
Right.
Because we're going to read tonight, even when you start in the adoption stage, that you're joint heirs with Christ. Now, what's joint heirs with Christ? Him up here and you down here? The Bible says, that's not me, the Bible says you're heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ. That makes you, whatever Jesus gets, that's what you get. Amen?
Lord, right.
So that brings everything in common, a brotherhood, all right? In the Bible days, roll it up. Pentecost had that. I'm speaking Pentecost meaning the first group of apostles and the disciples. They had that brotherly love. They wasn't greedy. See, because filial love will make you greedy. Make you jealous. Right? It's like Brother Brown said. He said, you know, somebody touch your wife and you're a sinner. Somebody touch your wife, you want to kill him. Somebody touch your wife now, as a Christian, you want to pray for the man. Don't let him do it again, but you want to pray for him. Pray for his bleeding. Pray for the broken bones. And pray that he don't fall again like he fell the first time. With your help. But look, they sold everything. And for the ones of you that weren't here, they sold everything they had for the what? The furtherment of the church. All was together. Till even when one heard of the other one died, they said, let us go and die with him. Now, that's not filial love. That's agape love that takes over. Because look how close you are to that agape love here. Now, remember, it's all agape love all the way down. Because when you receive the new birth, you receive a part of God, which is agape love. All right. But remember, we're going to read it this afternoon about in the stages of adoption. You're a son. And you're an heir. But you got to grow up.
Right.
Amen? You got to grow up. Let us go and die with him. Such a feeling. So they had a common faith or a commonness. And that's the same way with brotherly kindness. And there is a quote I was trying to find where Brother Brown said, there are some people, Christians, that you can't stand to be in the room with.
Yeah.
It's just this old nature is still fighting people.
Right.
Just still fighting. Sorry, it is.
Right.
But you must love with agape love, because remember, we're supposed to love the sinner but hate the sin.
Right.
Well, when you love that sinner that's cursing you and doing all these things, number one, you better have some control faith to control your temper. But if you do overcome that, you look in the eyes of God. God looked in the eyes of Jesus Christ, and it was the same eyes.
Right.
But he was looking at true human beings. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Right.
All right, so that's what you and I must do to come to the place to where, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing.
Right.
All right, now I looked up the word common. I wanted to to look that up and because I wanted to define the word common. If you'll pull that up, we'll read it from good old Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Belonging to or shared by two or more people or groups. Done by many people. Occurring or appearing frequently, not rare. I like that.
Right?
Occurring or appearing frequently. Of relating to a community at large, public, work for the common good. Known to the community. Belonging to or shared by two or more individuals or things. Or by all members of a group. Common friends or hired in, or buried in a common grave. Belonging equally to two or more mathematical entities. Occurring or appearing. It goes back again. Look at this word. Familiar. We become familiar. With who first? God, which is the author of brotherly love, because he loved you when you hated him. That's agape love. God doesn't have filial love. It was agape love, and then Satan watered it down to where it comes down to where God finally, you know, God said, okay, you're going to have filial love, because I got to bring you in the world now, because I can't bring you here through agape love. Agape love is speaking the word of God.
Yeah.
Amen? Filial love is coming through sex desire and all those things. But you know what? It got you here to make a choice.
Right?
So you're here to make a choice. So you come to brotherly kindness, and you look, it says familiar. A common sight. Listen, we all have a common goal. But it's like I was telling Brother Joe and them last Sunday, I'm not an evangelist. I know that. I don't have a pull to bring people to the altar like Brother Joel Forney and some of those. I don't want to be in that gift. Because
right.
That's not what the way God made me. He geared me to be able to where I can break the word down and maybe teach to people and bring, you know, let Brother Luis bring them in.
Yep.
That's why I was illustrating. Let Brother Luis, let an evangelist bring them in. But somebody, once you bring them in, has got to bring them up.
Right.
Amen? You can bring them in and be spirit babes in Christ. That's where you got to start from. But somebody's got to come and then teach them. The schoolmaster brought them to Christ. We'll talk about that this afternoon. The schoolmaster brought them to Christ, convicted their heart, brought them to the altar. But somebody's got to what? Be a tutor and a governor to bring the people up in God, because God doesn't want you to stay, one more time, doesn't want you to stay a baby. So listen, to say all that to say this, Paul and Barnabas, if you'll read about Barnabas in the book of Acts, he was a man, the Bible said, full of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Going around doing signs and wonders, right? Paul, obviously, we know he was a prophet.
Right.
Amen? Paul was a prophet of the church age. All right, look. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we will preach the word of God. They preached together for years. 3 to 4 years they were together everywhere they went, and signs and wonders followed them.
Right.
Two Holy Ghost filled gentlemen. See how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark.
Right.
But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work.
Right.
And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. They didn't go together anymore. They separated.
Right.
And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. If you continue reading, they still were successful.
Yeah.
Okay? So you can't... Even... I like hunting and fishing, but I don't care much about, you know, flying kites or something like that. So if you want to talk about flying kites, I'll talk to you for a little while. That's human stuff.
Right.
But now listen, we should all, they never had a contention over the Word of God.
Right. Amen.
Paul and Peter never had a contention over the Word of God.
Exactly.
Paul was telling Peter, said, look, Peter, you're not treating them people right.
Right.
In other words, Paul was saying, now, Peter, remember what you said?
Yeah.
Peter, remember what you said? Because
right.
Remember, we have to be reminded. We have to be reminded, Peter had to be reminded of what position he was supposed to be in.
Right.
And it took a prophet to do that.
Right.
Same thing with you and I. It took a prophet, Brother Branham, to bring us to a place to see that we needed these. And to what? As we grow up through there, somebody to say, look, you're not acting right. But the contention was so sharp between them, they departed. So see, you say, well, that's not brotherly kindness. Well, obviously, Paul had it. Okay? So we can't look at brotherly kindness where we love everybody in the way we think that love should be.
Yeah.
All right? There's some people you put up with. There's some people that you have differences. But now look, if it's ever a doctrinal difference, there's a problem.
Right.
There's a doctrinal difference, there's a problem.
Right.
I got a problem with somebody that preaches a different doctrine than what the pastor preaches in his church.
Yeah.
I told somebody the other day, you know, Brother Brown said the deacon is the policeman of the church. And if a man comes in and preaches a doctrine that's different than the doctrine of the church, he's to handle it, not the pastor. That's what he said. You're supposed to go to that person and tell them that that is not what the pastor or the teaching of this church is. So we fell short as deacons doing that. But listen, but you gotta be able to discern whether that's it or not. We've had things preached in the pulpit here that was a little bit off. And, you love the brother, though. You love the brother. See, you still can have brotherly love. I want you to pray about it. I got a little something that I am feeling that's going to go on in the Philippines, but we'll see. I've been praying about it, but we'll see about how that feeling goes. Because some of those brothers have preached some things in here. I don't care if they know it or not. They preached things in this pulpit that's not exactly correct to the doctrine of Brother Branham. So we may be questioned on that, and we may not, but we'll see. But remember, they may throw me off the island, but I'm going to believe what I believe. And I'm not saying anything against them. You understand what I mean? It may be that we can, because one of the brothers wants to have a questions and answer session. Now, I don't know where that come from. So if he wants to have a question and answer session, there must be some questions, and there's got to be some answers. So we just, you just pray for me that I'll get me out, that I'll leave me here, and God will go do it, you know. Because you know me, I don't have a lot of brotherly kindness yet. So I admit that. I'm trying. Listen, y'all have to tolerate me, so I might as well tolerate y'all. But look, brotherly kindness is not all sweetness and beautiful. You understand what I'm saying? This is my point. It's not all, roses. Because if you put your hand in a rose, you can see in my hands I pruned some roses over at Sister Julie's house the other day, and I kind of brought some thorns back with me. So there's some thorns in among those roses. Roses are pretty and smell good, but they have a few thorns in them. But remember, what we're supposed to do is, though, bottom line with brotherly kindness, we're supposed to take out all the feelings. We're supposed to lay the feelings aside. That's what we're really supposed to do. Lay the feelings aside and love the person. And I say brother, but you sisters got to do the same thing.
Right.
All right, you sisters, you say, well, you're supposed to do it this way, or this is the right way. Well, you know, you go by the Word of God. Because two people's not going to agree on common things. They're not going to agree. That's why I said you got to have, we'll come back to this, you got to have common faith. Because common faith brings the Word of God on a level plane to everybody. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So brotherly kindness is not that you just, here I go. You know, these people that come up so meek and humble and, you know, they got their Bible like Brother Branham, and they sneak up on you. I ain't. I want somebody to tell me what they believe. And then I'll determine whether it goes through my filter or not. I'll determine whether it's right or not. All right? So I like what? The Bible says be bold. Be bold, be confident. That's what they said about me and Brother Dale at ministers' meeting. They said they're arrogant. And then one brother got up and he said, no, they're not arrogant, they're just confident. There's a difference in arrogance and confidence. I'm confident I was taught right. So I just have confidence that God, and you know what? God will back it up, or he'll whip me, one of the two. You just leave that to God. Let him do it. You don't have to do it. He'll do it for you. Right? Amen? All right, so now, excuse me. Everybody all right with those? So we got faith. We got virtue faith, knowledge faith, temperance faith, because you never leave faith. Patience faith, godliness faith, and brotherly kindness faith. And we're going to look at this evening. We'll bring it all up, and I want to bring all these definitions into the pyramid. But let's talk about the Holy Spirit here for about 10 minutes, and then we'll continue on this afternoon, because we need to get out a little bit early to let Brother Dale and Sister Dale eat. And don't worry about it. We're going to have church at 2 o'clock. We're going to have church. You can pray for Brother Dale and let him go do what he needs to do with his family. And the rest of us are going to have church with the church family. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Now, that's not being arrogant, but your first duty is right here. If you have a duty in this church, if you have an office in this church, this is your first duty. Unless you get somebody to take your place, and then you go like Sunday school. Bob asked me this morning, he said, well, who's going to do this? I said, that's your problem. That's yours, not mine. It's your problem. It'll be my problem when I get back, but it's his problem until I get back. You got to build confidence. We all need to have confidence in that he's never going to tell you wrong. And through a true fivefold ministry, he's never going to tell you wrong. So you must have confidence in the ability for God to send it through. It's got to go through this filter and then go out. All right, look. But speaking the truth in love, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit right here. Just for a few minutes. About 10 minutes. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. Now, what's he talking about? See, he's continuing. Look where Ephesians 4 and 12 is where we read he gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Now, this is a continuation of what Paul's speaking of in the book of Ephesus. Now, remember, the Ephesians was what? A very mature church. All right, so they were understanding what Paul was saying. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, where's the head? Right here. The head, even Christ. All right. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Not just put together, but compacted. You take that thing and you pack it down. What? Once you pack something, what happens? You can't get a razor blade in between the pyramid rocks over there, right? So same thing with God. If you leave a crack, and there's many quotes where Brother Branham said, you get up this far and you fall off. Why? Because you've left the crack somewhere. Yeah. And who, you know who fills those cracks? Your friend, the devil. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. So it's got to come from the inside out.
Right.
According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. These things are important. This thing is important. All these things are important. All right? But remember, when we have brotherly kindness, it puts everybody on the same level. All right? And the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. All right? This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through what? The ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness, that's what we were just talking about a minute ago, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Now that ain't got nothing to do with the statue of perfect man, but watch. But ye have not so learned Christ. In other words, you didn't learn this from Christ. You didn't learn this from God. All right. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is what? Created.
Glory.
Created me a clean heart. Oh God. Which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness.
Amen.
All right, this is kind of long, but listen. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Paul, I believe, is going right through the virtues right here. Yeah. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So it's telling you how to handle temperance. Right. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole, steal no more.
Right.
That's pretty simple. But very profound. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. In other words, you're able to give. All right? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. All right? So we can grieve it. We receive the new birth right here. We can grieve God away in any of these virtues. Remember we talked about, Brother Brown preached, doors and doors. You give your heart to God and God steps into your house, but you got a door here and it's closed. You got a door here and it's closed. You say, well, God, you can open that door because this one's got some dirty things in it, but I cleaned this room out. You know, Brother Branham said God was, the Holy Ghost was a very tender gentleman.
Right.
He's not going to just bust into your door. You're going to have to allow him in or not.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
That's all these virtues. This is, look, this is a door, 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 this is a door. These are rooms in your person.
Right.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of your redemption. So you're sealed down here at faith. Amen?
Amen.
But it's continue.
Right.
Let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, brotherly kindness.
Right.
Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. I'm sure when Paul and Barnabas separated, there was something in their heart that Paul probably said, Lord, forgive Barnabas. He really didn't, you know, he didn't know what he was doing. And I'm sure Barnabas said, God, forgive Paul or forgive me. You know, amen. For Christ's sake has forgiven you. God forgive you. So you ought to forgive others. Amen. So let's go to the next one just for a moment. There you go. Statue of perfect man. Right here, we'll read this quote, and I'll stop right here. Now, what this afternoon, I won't background so much on the virtues. We're just going to continue right here and go on to the headstone. Is that okay? We'll stop right here. But I want you to read it. This, Brother Branham says, he gets up. This is paragraph 328. So in building the virtue, building this monument, building this stature, not statue, stature.
Right.
See, it starts off with the foundation stone, revelation, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. Now, what does it do? Then you're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love, and He controls. And He is the strength of every one of these things. That's right, yes, sir. Right in here, you see I got in between all these works in here, and here these little waves come. Now, I saw one original picture of this that was drawn, and there's little waves going here.
Right.
Brother Dale, you've got one. Somebody's got one. Because Brother Brown's original chart, he put Holy Spirit here, and then he put little waves. Because it is. It's God
right.
putting it into you. I mean, it's right. God over all that, sealing it together. All right? Right in here, you see I got in between all these works in here, and here these little waves come. What is that? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ, see, Holy Spirit. So it's Christ. Sure, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right here. But this is Christ in you, the hope of glory, mature.
Right.
All right? So we're going to look at, in the Holy Spirit, we're going to look at a mature faith.
Right.
Because down here is baby faith.
Yeah.
That's baby faith. New birth. Right. Born right. baby. All right? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ. See, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together.
Right.
All right? We're going to look at binding and welding. This afternoon with the Holy Spirit. That's what that's put there for.
Glory.
Amen?
Right.
That's why building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off.
Right.
What's it been done? It's manifested through seven church ages and seven church messengers. Starting back here, where was the church first founded? Where was the Pentecostal church first founded? By St. Paul in Ephesus. The star of the Ephesian church age. Scroll it up, please. Second church age was Smyrna, Virtue, Irenaeus, all the way down. Next church age was Pergamos. He talks about all of them. What? Then come Philadelphia, Godliness, Wesley, Holiness.
Right.
Just shall live by faith. Then come in brotherly kindness. Here you are, seven church ages, seven steps. God building His church is like one person into an individual, into Himself. The glory, the power of God coming down through this, right here, coming down through this. Because remember, look. This, if you pulled it straight down to here, it won't fit.
That's right.
Everybody got that?
Right.
Or can you see? It will not fit.
Right. Hallelujah.
He's drawing.
Right.
Pull. That's where your pulls come from, your third pull. It's not a third push.
Yeah.
You ever tried to push a rope? You can't control that sucker.
Right.
But you can pull it wherever you want to.
Right.
So it's a pull. It's the pull of God, the glory, the power of God coming down through this, what? Welding it together. Therefore, the Pentecostal people that led out to Luther, led out to Wesleyan and things, doesn't know what they're talking about. You see, they lived in this part of the temple.
Right.
That's the way some people can come up that high and drop off.
Right.
But look, there's a genuine part of that.
Right.
Keeps making that building, come on, I will restore, saith the Lord. And that's what he's doing now. Then he's talking about the bride tree. Let me read this real quick. They raise up another denomination, but the heart of the tree kept growing, and in the evening time it shall be light. And that's where we're at, right? That's when come Christ, the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes down and sets himself at the head of the church then, and he will resurrect this church, being his own body, and there is the body. In there.
Right.
And the way God is expecting us as an individual to grow, the way He has brought His church in to grow, every church age, it becomes one big church, common.
Amen.
One big church, common. These fellows wasn't required what these fellows were. This wasn't required. They weren't required this in Luther's day.
That's right.
They were not required for the full virtue to come. Then he talks about faith, virtue, coming up, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then the love of God. The Holy Ghost, Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
Comes upon you. Now this is an anointing. God's already in you.
Right.
This is an anointing.
Right.
All right? It's an anointing. The same anointing that came on Jesus.
Right. Amen.
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 And then it lifted off of him at the Garden of Gethsemane. What Brother Branham said, that's what's coming back in the end time.
Amen.
Amen? That's the Son of Man ministry. Listen, we'll talk about this afternoon. This is a Son of God message.
Yeah. Right.
Seven church ages got the Son of God, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is another anointing. Because
right.
that anointing came off Jesus and He could die. If right. that anointing ever comes back on the bride,
right.
she can't die.
Right.
And you get all these virtues sealed in you. Then God lives in a tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place.
Right.
When a man possesses these kind of things, then the Holy Ghost comes upon him.
Right.
It's already in you.
Right.
You just get another anointing.
Right.
No matter, you might speak with tongues, you might impersonate any gift that God's got, you might do that. But until these virtues here go into you,
right.
the virtues go in, then the anointing comes on. But when these virtues grow in and you added that to that, then you are a living monument, you are a living, moving idol. Let's stand.
Amen.
And we'll go back into that this afternoon, if that's okay, Lord willing. But that's what that Holy Ghost is for right there. It's to seal all this in. It's to put that same anointing on you that Jesus Christ had, the 3.5-year message, the Son of Man ministry.
Right.
The church ages never had the Son of Man ministry.
Right.
They had the Son of God ministry.
Amen.
Which was what? The Holy Ghost in you, sure, absolutely. But not working the way God wanted to work. It was a very immature church. Now we've come to a place where we have to, and if you want to do, let's sing this right here and then we'll. You got it? Okay.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We have the victory.
Glory.
In the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee.
Right.
Amen? What number is that?
479.
479. Let's sing one verse of that. If anybody has a need, then we'll dismiss. 470 in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. For when we come in the name of Jesus,
just help our sister, Lord, and bless her, Father. Just touch her for what she needs, Lord. Let her have that childlike faith, Father. But we'll also believe with her, Lord, that all these things will be made whole. You're the healer, Father. We can't do it. The physicians can't do it. But, Father, you're the great physician. You're the one that can do it, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask to help our little sister. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go with God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Then we come. Of Jesus, tell me, stand before in the
precious name of Jesus, we have the victory.
She's been in bed since last Sunday, so.
In the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Dear Heavenly Father, we know where this is going. In the name of Jesus Christ, when this is applied to our sister, that she'll feel better, Lord. And she'll raise up out of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
When we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who
We pray that you'll just help our sister, Lord, and give her childlike faith that she'll believe, Lord, and that she'll be touched from the head of her hair down to the sole of her feet, Father, that you'll bless her now, Lord. Give her strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We will have to flee. Oh, when we come in the name of Jesus, there'll be new ingredients than before. In that precious name of Jesus, we have the victory. Yes, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Immigration, so he can get his immigration papers. The Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'll break back the walls, Lord, that carries our brother, Lord, right straight into being a citizen, Father. That's a desire in his heart, Lord, and you said you give us the desire of the heart, Lord. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
Precious name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus.
And Heavenly Father, my brother stands here, Lord, in need of you to touch him, Lord. He's done so much for you, Lord, and we pray now that you'll just do for him, Father. Just raise him up out of this, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
When we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand. Name me one person that can stand in that name. You're dismissed till it's after me.
Victory.
Oh, in the name of Jesus. In